Welcome to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike is here every Sunday morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Yes. It's that time of the year here on the Real Estate Hour where we try to get you into a home before Christmas. Good morning, one and all. I'm Mike Kelly, the host of the longest-running real estate show in the universe, right, Joe?
That's what the ad says.
That's what the ad says. It must be true, then.
It must be true.
But I've been doing this for over 20 years here exclusively on KSRO, and we've had always had some great fun. And this is the time of year where we try to have a little more fun, even though we've had some serious issues happening in the last, like, 30 to 40 days.
Actually, it's nearly 2 months now.
Is it really? Isn't it that long? Really?
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
No, it's not. Oh, gosh, it is. Huh? This is like December, huh?
Yeah, it is December.
Man, yeah.
That's why we're playing where you'll be home for Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you for that, Joe. Joe tried to keep me in an alternate reality, or keep myself in an alternate reality. But good morning, one and all. If you want to get a hold of us and chat with us, you can give me a call at 636-1350. We are on Facebook Live, I think. I've been playing around with that thing today, and for some reason my stand is not working properly, but I think I'm on. We'll have to see. The wide-angle lens was fogged over because I left it in my car, so we could, but it's actually, it kind of looked nice. It would, if I left it on there, Joe, it would be like one of those haze shots, you know, they have with the, you know, with, they take with a boot washout or something like that where you're fuzzed out and all that kind of stuff. Yes? Are we on?
I was just going to say you're on. And you even got a shot of your head.
Wow. Am I actually?
and I'm right side
right. The right side up, huh? For some reason, we've had an issue with this thing.
Maybe you should get in it after the news starts every day.
It's the pressure, Joe. You know, yeah. I work well under pressure.
There you go.
Well, we've had some interesting things happening in the home front. As we well know, the Republicans finally passed some legislation. They did I guess they call it tax reform. It was kind of a overnight kind of thing they did. The last tax reform we had was back in 1986, the last major, what we would call major tax reform. And I was in the business then, and I remember running amok because we had the old 15-year depreciation, and it was going to go to 28.5, what it is today, for properties. And we had just a ton of people trying to get properties so they could tie it into that 15-year appreciation. And I remember my December then was absolutely nuts because we were selling houses or investment properties pretty, pretty quickly. So now this latest, what they call tax reform, and the one that took place in 86 was when Reagan was in office. It was kind of a bipartisan thing. It went back and forth for months. There was input on both sides. This one they decided to put in the middle of the night. They run it through. They add 20 amendments to it at the last minute. I don't know if you saw some of the tweets, Joe, but they were going to vote on somebody's handwriting on the side of this bill that they were adding this paragraph, which they couldn't read. So it's one of those things where I think most legislators have no idea what they pass. I really believe that. And their staff, God love them, are trying to interpret this stuff and let the senator or the representative know just what is being passed. That the House had a little more time. I mean, they could actually, you know, talk it over a little bit. But it seems to be, obviously, you know, we have governance by one party in the United States. We're not a representative government anymore. When you look at what's going on, we have pretty much the Republicans in charge, and they really can't get anything done anyway. But they did pass this alleged tax reform, which we shall see. But I'm going to talk about that tax reform in light of owning a home. So we're going to talk about that today. Plus, I ran numbers again because I'm trying to – you know, I've been having all sorts of conversations with appraisers. I spoke with a gentleman named Nick Dunlop, who works over in Sebastopol, and chatting with him about what do we see the the market, where do we see the market going? Is are we going to use these comps for the next 2 months as valid comps? I'm pretty much running, when I do a market analysis now, I'm kind of running after October 9th. That was the fire. So I'm using those post-October sales to indicate what's really going on in the market. Now, appraisers can go back 3 months. Some agents actually go back 6 months. I don't know why they would want to do that. But if you go back 3 months, there are quite a bit of sales. And we're going to talk about the sales for November, just lightly today. We'll talk about it more in depth next weekend, because I think the sales will have settled out. You know, we'll kind of see what's going on, this kind of thing. So, but we'll get a little more deeper into that. But right now, the sales look pretty good for a November. They're up over last year. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, Joe, we had a tight market to begin with, right? So before we had the fires, we had a tough rental market before the fires. Well, now you lose 5,200 houses. But not only that, you have those 5,200 people, or how many people occupy those properties, looking for rentals and then looking for homes. But you've lost 5,200 homes from the housing stock in areas, you know, where they were really affluent, in areas where they were really affordable. So the conversations I'm having with my appraisal friends is that, okay, what do we see the housing market post-rebuild? That could be a whole different animal, especially in Coffee Park. We have no idea what those houses prices they're going to come in at. We're having a builder's panel this Tuesday at our realtor breakfast. And if you're a realtor, we invite you to come down, or your realtor affiliate. It's not open to the public. But we're going to be talking with some builders about what do they see happening in Coffee Park, in Fountain Grove. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how many people rebuild. It'll be interesting to see what the cost of those homes will be once they're done, you know, especially in Coffee Park. That used to be $450,000 to $600,000 in Coffee Park. I did a market analysis about a month before the fire and told the client their house was worth about $525,000, and they lost their home. So it's going to be interesting to see when the square foot costs come in and when they start building there and who's going to build. But, you know, when you think about how long it took us to build, well, look at Roanoke Park, Joe. They're doing the subdivision down there. Now, there's like 5,000 homes going in there. So they're predicting that's going to take probably on the order of 5 to 7 years to build them all out. Now, there's a different dynamic with that than there is rebuilding your home because you lost it in a fire. Obviously, when you do a new subdivision, you're kind of looking at, okay, what is this? What are the costs going to be of this property I'm selling, or this product I'm selling? So what those folks do, they don't build them all out at once, number one, because they wouldn't sell them that quickly. But then again, if the prices go up, they can adjust their prices accordingly. So when the subdivision starts its sales, it's at one price. When it finishes, it's at another price. Now, but here in Coffee Park, it's going to be, okay, what are those houses going to cost to build? If you do it individually, it's going to cost you probably more than, say, if a builder comes in there and agrees to build maybe 100 or 200 or 300 homes. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out. So we have
Colleen from
Grayton. Oh, Colleen from Grayton, what are you doing? What can we do for you this morning?
Hi. Well, I want to put a challenge out there for government at all levels and local lenders to be tiny home loan lenders, and to provide incentive for people going green as they're building these tiny homes, and let this be a bridge for people who want to build a bigger one. But, you know, I lost my home under tragic circumstances a year ago, and I've been a renter since 82, and I just decided I want to own something, so I just got Redwood Credit to do some financing for an RV, and this is, you know, my little bridge to getting a green tiny home. But HGTV kind of saved me and got me in that idea that anywhere from $20,000 to $80,000, and you can have something really good. Yeah, that might be enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
for a lot of people around here. But sure. I have a challenge to Redwood Credit Union Exchange Bank right now to create a program for that.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, the and that's an interesting point because they're going to allow, you know, more, how we say, aggressive use of the granny unit, as they call it now. It's called the, I'm drawing, totally drawing a blank on it, something unit. The addition.
Accessory dwelling.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. The accessory dwelling. And we'll see if they can put those on because you could, you know, say you're going to rebuild your house. Mm-hmm. If you clear your lot, then maybe you can put that granny unit on. But there's probably going to be minimum square footages. There's probably going to be foundation issues we're going to deal with when it comes to tiny houses. It's, you know, I've heard this argument before about tiny houses, and they're fine. And I think if you can use them on an existing lot. So I think if we approach it from the standpoint of an accessory dwelling idea, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of tiny houses are not on foundations. And that's why they're so cheap. When you put them on a trailer, that's something else. So maybe the, you know, the city or the county will allow those as permanent structures, but they need to be hooked up to sewer, you know, and septic and all this kind of stuff too.
Oh, yeah, but let me make a point on that, because right now, why anybody is thinking of rebuilding, and if you look at Japan as a model of how they can do it right on site in terms of water and wastewater usage, there are a lot of waterless ways to go. And if you were going waterless toilet, then you could go green on your grass, and while you're providing oxygen, you also create a fire safe zone for your.
Yeah, I get it. You know, but you're up against the city and the county, and right now they've never allowed those systems. But who knows? Maybe this will be the time where they do think outside the box, okay,
yeah.
and try that.
They've got incentive to change, so I hope that your show and the real estate associations can sort of create some incentive as well, that going green can be done, and it saves the money as well as the environment at the same time.
You got it.
From Howard Water.
I think we're agreeing. You're welcome, Colleen. Thanks for the call in. And that's Colleen from Grayton. And, you know, those are some valid points that, you know, I remember years ago they had composting toilets, and trying to get the county to use the composting toilet was like, are you kidding me? And they only did it when it was particularly an area that was very remote and had absolutely no facilities. So it was not really, you know, adapted, so to speak, by the county. But I think if there's an environment where you could probably, you know, push the envelope when it comes to housing, this is the environment. So, well, you know, you stay tuned for the months to come. We'll talk about that. And as far as financing is concerned, I think an RV, because it's not on a foundation, or excuse me, a tiny house, if it's on just on wheels, it's not real property. It's personal property. So it'd probably be licensed like an RV or a mobile home. So that would be a different thing, and a different way to finance too. You're probably not going to see the kind of rates you would see with a fixed rate home. So let's take a break, Joe, because we're over. But thank you for the call, Colleen, and stay tuned. We'll be chatting about these things in the future. We'll be right back after these words. I'm Mike Kelly. We're going to chat about the Tax Reform Act and see what it does to you as a homeowner when we can return with the Real Estate Hour.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
Some have been advised that if they decide not to rebuild in the same location, they can't receive their full replacement cost benefits. True? Untrue?
Well, that's untrue.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home, and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings.
Every 30 minutes all the time.
On FM News Talk Radio.
103.5 FM
and 94.5 FM.
KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
Yes, you might be able to get it at home before Christmas. I mean, today is, what's the date today, Joe? You know that. December
3rd.
If you found a vacant house, if you could find a vacant house that was for sale. That you
3 weeks.
3 weeks. We can get you into that, but you'd have to have cash and probably. But I do have lenders that could do loans real, real quick. So we've done loans in less than 14 days, especially if you're qualified and you got the money and all that good stuff. We can rock and roll you right into a home. But I first want to thank Allison for being on the show last week and hosting for me. And looks like she's coming out of the – somewhat out of the what shall we call it? The fog of having a daughter who is, you know, really, really ill. And like she said, she pretty much dropped everything she was doing and took care of her daughter. And her daughter's doing fine, as Allie stated. Now she has to go through chemotherapy for the next, I think, 6 to 7 months, quite a while. But she's back working. And we still have – we have a lot of legacy clients. We have a lot of stuff in the works. So we currently have a couple of properties listed. She chatted about them last week, but just to give you an update, three properties that I think are very, very cool to take a look at. One is $1,395,000. It's on Wood Lane, 1980 Wood Lane, and it's just over about 4.5 acres. It's about 2,300 square feet of single-level living, true single-level living. You walk in the front door, there's only one step, three-car garage, beautiful, huge deck in the back, which is absolutely incredible. And, you know, land is all usable. You could it's in tiger salamander habitat, but you should be able to enjoy the way the house is. If you wanted to maybe plant some vineyards, you'd have to check with the county on that. If you want to do a little horse facility, you'd have to check with the county on that. But it's got this garage, Joe, that would blow you away. It's a three-bay garage, but it also has a door on the end, which you could, you know, pull an RV into. So if you're one of those guys who's got his prized RV and he wants to pull it into a covered area, this is the property for you. But it also, it will take 12 cars. And 12 cars, yeah. And it's really cool because the gentleman who owns the property was a master mechanic engineer, and he's got some cars in there that are just absolutely incredible. So with the price in that is $1,395,000, and you know, we encourage, you know, if you want to see this property, it's really, really, really very nicely done. And I'm running over there after the show to show it to an agent and his clients. And then I also have a property on Willowside Road, right at the corner of Willowside and Piner Road, and just over an acre. House is about 1,250 square feet. I think Allie got the price wrong last time. It's $619,900, which is in this marketplace, which is a heck of a deal. $619,900. It's got a little water tower, you know, those cool old water towers, and some barns on it, but all usable land. So that's going to be coming on the market probably this week. Then also out in Bodega Harbor, lovely Bodega Harbor. I was there yesterday, and it was beautiful, beautiful out Bodega Harbor. A little chilly, a lot of people on the golf course. The price on that is $1,085,000, and it's make a classic, you know, vacation rental out there. It's just over 2,000 square feet. And has, you know, the nice thing about it is it's on Swan, 506 Swan Drive, and which is right abuts number 7 hole. Okay, 7 green. So you have no neighbors to the west and no people across the street either. So you get this incredible unobstructed view of the harbor, Joe. You're going to see it. It's spectacular. So that's the $1,085,000. And that'll be coming on probably in a couple of weeks. We're doing some pest report work. We're clearing the pest report. But it's been remodeled inside, new kitchen, you know, new carpeting we just had installed. We've done some painting. Like I said, we're doing the siding work. So if you want to be out in Bodega Harbor, it's a beautiful area. My client, I sold it to him, gosh, 7-8 years ago, and they've been happily living there. Now they're going to move into Sebastopol, and so they need to sell this property. So 506 Swan Drive, price is $1,085,000, and it's currently vacant. We can get you into it anytime you want. So just give me a call on any of those three properties. Mike Kelly at 322-8503-322-8503. Okay, let's talk about some sales. Iran sales, Joe, for, you know, we talked about it before, a couple of weeks before, sales of 110% or more of asking. So say you're asking $500,000 for your property, okay, and you sell it for 10% more, obviously that would be $550,000. So somebody is bidding, you know, $50,000 over the asking price to get that house for $500,000. Well, Iran, how many sales we had over 110% of asking? And why do I do that? Well, because that's indicative of number one, when we're talking about appraisal and we're talking about pricing, how many sales are we going to use that are this crazy, that are over 110% of asking price, right? So, I mean, and that's going to do all sorts of interesting things to the medium home price. It does crazy things to the average home price. We've talked about various properties which have sold way over the asking. But so I ran the numbers, and I'm going to do this every month from now on just to see where the trends are and see if it abates a little bit. But October, we had 18 sales over 110% of asking. I think the highest we had was like 134%, which is, you know, 34% of our asking, which is a substantial amount of money. But that was October. November, we doubled that to 36 homes that sold in excess of 110%. Now, that's just to give you an indication of how kind of wild and crazy the market is. And this is why when I talk to appraisers, I'm saying, okay, are we going to use these comps? I mean, are these throwaway comps? What are they doing to the medium home price? You know, how are they going to affect the area? I mean, if you have a property that's sold for 120% of asking price next door to you, is that the new comp on the block? Or is that just simply somebody who needed to get into a house because they lost their home in the fire? So you have this kind of like strange market influence now that is, you know, going to be raising prices, raising comps. And, you know, it's going to take a while to shake out. Matter of fact, this one appraiser I was talking to, he says, you know, we should, because we had the REO market, which was real estate owned, a lot of the foreclosure markets when they were happening between, say, 2009 to 2012, something like that. We had a lot of REOs. So we would indicate if it was an REO, or we'd indicate if it was a short sale. Now I'm almost inclined to say, why don't we have a designation for a fire purchase? You know, we could still call it a fire victim purchase, or I don't know what would be the term for it. But so we can see that, yes, they were bidding this high because they wanted to get a house and they could afford to do that, or, you know, they had the insurance money to do it or whatever. So we're seeing these kind of sales, and if you use it as a comp, you know, I just don't know if it's going to be valid. You know, though some people would say, well, but it's a comp, Mike. It's a comp, it's a comp, it's a comp. Well, not necessarily. We had the same problem when we were seeing prices dropping, we would go to the assessor, Mr. Rousseau, and say, look, you know, this is the new norm now. We have all these sales that are lower, so we need you to reflect that when you do reassessments. And they kind of fought us on for a while, saying that's an anomaly. Well, then there were 65% of the market was anomalies, so they had to start doing that. And that's when they revised all the properties downward and did that for a number of years. But so we're kind of, I don't know if we're in that market now, but we may have to look at the same way when we figure some of these outrageous sales. Are we in like a post-fire boom, so to speak? So we'll take a break and come back more with the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly. Call in numbers are 636-1350, and we can get you into a home before Christmas. If only
FM News Talk Radio. North County 103.5. South County 94.5. KSRO.
President Trump calls it fake news covering a Comey lie in a tweet hours ago, with the ex-FBI director testified under oath to the Senate Intelligence Committee last June.
I understood him to be saying that what he wanted me to do was drop any investigation connected to Flynn's account of his conversations with the Russians.
The president has said there was no collusion between his campaign and Russia. On ABC's This Week, the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, California's Adam Schiff.
You have Flynn, one of the president's top people, basically telling the Russians, don't react to the sanctions imposed over your help of our campaign. We're going to take care of this. And then lying about it. So I think it's that context that is so significant.
Former Attorney General Michael Mukasey says he doesn't think Flynn has much to offer the investigation, but adds the big unanswered question is why Flynn believed he had to lie to the FBI about his Russia contacts. Aetna's board is set to approve a $68 billion sale of the company to CVS. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503. Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
I'll be home for Christmas. And we hope you do find a home before Christmas. I know it's kind of tight out there in the real estate market. Kind of tight. I guess that's kind of the wrong thing to say. It is tight. It's very tight. So you're going to have a heck of a time finding a house. But, you know, they're out there, and, you know, we have about, I think, 500-and-something listings right now in the marketplace, which for a population of 500,000 people, that's not very much. And, you know, here we had the fires, and we have all these folks now looking to purchase property. They're getting checks now. You know, a lot of people may be looking at talking to contractors as to what it's going to cost them to rebuild their home, and they're going, man, I don't want to. Number one, I don't want to do that. Number one, I don't want to spend that kind of money. Is my house going to be worth that much when it's done? I mean, and I'm going to be living in a construction site for how long? So I think a lot of people are looking at that saying, you know what, I'm taking my money. I'll let FEMA clear my lot off. I'm going to go out and buy a house. So that's why we're seeing these kind of outrageous outrageous final sales amounts. Over 110% of asking. So that means if you had a house, say, for $500,000, it's selling for a minimum of $550,000, if not more. And we've seen some that go as high as 134% of asking, which is pretty tremendous. If, you know, just use that on a $500,000 sale, and you kind of go, holy Toledo. But we're seeing that in more in the upper end of this type of thing, because people have gotten checks, and they're saying, you know what, we need to get a home. We have a family. We need to be a family in a new home, so they're out purchasing properties. And the thing about it, which kind of, you know, I've never liked off-market sales. I just don't agree with the concept. I understand that there are times when somebody says they want to do that. I just don't understand it. If you look at, you know, in this marketplace where you have 36 homes that sold over 110%. Now, I'm not even saying over 100%, over 110%. We have a whole bunch that are selling over 100% also. Why would you want to sell your home off market in this crazy demand situation we have now with real estate? We have off market sales, and they're usually about 100%. you know, why wouldn't they be 100% if they're off market? I mean, it just stands to reason that if you're selling your house off market, you better be getting 100%. If you're not, then I think, you know, you really need to look at your overall goals here. And if your goal is to get the most money for your house, and I've never had a seller yet look at me, Joe, and say, you know, Mike, I don't want to get as much as for my house as I would normally get. I go, really? Yeah, I you know, if I sell it for, you know, when she asks for it, that's fine. I said, but what if you can get, you know, way over it? I don't care. I just want to get, you know, the price you tell me to get. You know, give me a break. You know, and that's what you're basically saying to a seller when it's an off-market sale. And I got news for you guys. There's a whole bunch of off-market sales in our MLS. We currently have, in the month of November, we had 21 sales, okay, that were off market. And they're all across the board. They start at $549,000 and go as high as $2.4 million. You know, and you know why you want to do this, it's your business, okay, but why do you want to in this marketplace where we have sales in excess of 100 all over the place? All over the place, because the average amount for those homes that sell off market is just under 100%. It's 99.75, which I assume would be 100%. Why wouldn't it be 100%? Because if you're selling it off market, you have a, you know, you're basically saying, okay, I'm not going to let the marketplace dictate to me my price, which is lunacy in my opinion. You know, why would you want to do that? Now, if you're selling to a friend and you just want to be nice to them, and that I get that. That's cool. Okay. I mean, I've had clients that have done that in the past. They go, you know, my neighbor wants to buy my property. They've rented here for 20 years. We want to really help them out, and we're going to sell it for this price. And after, you know, we explain the listing to them and the listing agreement, we have a blocked out paragraph in our multiple listing, or excuse me, our CAR listing forms, which state that here is the, you know, the reason you want to put it in the MLS and put it out there to the market, because you're probably going to get more money. Which is, you know, something we try to get you. We try to get, you know, but, you know, like I said, if I come to you and I say, now, Joe, do you want to get the most amount of money for your property, Joe? Joe would probably say,
no, I want to give it away.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. No, Joe would not say that because Joe's a smart guy. Joe would say, Mike, I want to get as much money as I can for my house because I'm moving someplace. I'm retiring. I need every cent I can get my hands on. I said, cool. Then to do that, it's my opinion that we should put it in our multiple listing service because the data I have that shows homes selling over 100%, you know, is pretty strong right now. You can see by the comps in the neighborhood that are doing that. Or we can sell it to my investor client over here who may pay you 100% or maybe pay you less. What would you prefer? I mean, obviously, you want to get the highest amount of money. So that's what we try to do. So these statistics bear that out. You know, and if you're getting 134% of asking, I mean, you go across the board, I could read these to you. It's just pretty astounding. 112%, 110, 111, 110, 123.5, 116, 111, 110. That's substantially more money you would get, guys. Okay. So why these agents still sell these homes off market, it's kind of beyond me. I do understand, you know, circumstances that revolve around that, and you know that sometimes there are, you know, extenuating circumstances. I get that. Okay, you can use that all you want to with me, and I'll go, okay, fine. But when you look at the numbers we have in the MLS, you know, I think sometimes we do it, you know, based out of greed rather than looking out for our clients. So that is the opinion of Mike Kelly, not that of Keller Williams or KSRO or the management thereof or Joe Pasquini. That's just me. So anyway, I've said enough. So stay tuned. Next week, we'll talk about sales. You know, it's interesting that the new properties hitting the market is up. The overall amount of listings are down, but the overall new listings hitting the market is up. So that's kind of interesting because I think a lot of people are like I said, when you look at these numbers, the, you know, why would you not put your house on the market now? I'm saying, look, we're getting, we have 36 sales over 110% in November. We had only had 18 in October. So obviously the market is there. There's demand for housing. We'll see how long it stays with us. Maybe 2 or 3 months. I don't know. You know, are we going to have a seasonless market this year where we don't have the doldrums of the holidays, you know, where things kind of like, you know, lighten up and you know, we don't get that many listings because people don't want to put them on for the holidays. And what Allison and I are doing now, if somebody tells us that, we say, okay, well, what days do you want it off the market? And they say, well, you know, like, you know, the week of Christmas. Okay, fine. And we'll just sign a listing, and then there we'll put a little codicil or something that states that, you know, during the days of so-and-so and so-and-so of December and January, property's off the market, and we put it back on. So, you know, that's pretty easy to do because I think you're not really fully taking advantage of this marketplace and what's going on in the marketplace if you don't get your house on the market now. So, but we will chat about the sales. I mean, the average days on the market is ridiculous. Month supply of inventory is ridiculous. Everything is trending, you know, either up for the amount of sales we have, the medium home price. You know, you're going to hear another thing. It's hit a record high. I think it's like $660,000, which is a record high. But, you know, guys, you got to put it in context. You know, what's driving that medium home price are some of these offerings we've had where people are going way over the asking price, and it's in a higher price point than the medium. So the action is higher, so it drags up that medium home price. So don't be too seduced by the big surge in medium home price, because you're probably going to read about that in another week or so in the Press Democrat. And our good friend Rick Laws over at Pacific Union will say, yeah, we have a record medium home price of $660,000. And everybody's going to go, ooh. And then people are going to go, oh, God, I can't afford to buy a house ever. That's not the case. Remember, there's half of those properties with the medium home price, half are above, half are below. So of those 500 and something listings, you know, there are, you know, half of those that are under the medium home price. Okay. All right. So let's talk tax relief. How about that? Now, NAR came out, National Association of Realtors. They have, and I posted on the Real Estate Hour blog and also on my Facebook page, Mike Kelly. You can go and check it out, a state-by-state breakdown of what they see is going to happen to the real estate market with the new tax reform that they just kind of rammed through the Senate. Now, it still has to go to another committee where they kind of massage it all and come out with the final bill that is reflective of what the House kicked to the Senate and what the Senate's going to do, because the Senate did all sorts of last-minute stuff. So we're still waiting for the shoe to drop. But let me give you some background, okay? The average time someone holds and sells their property now is 10 years, all right? Now, 10 years, that's a long time for a lot of people. The real estate market can do tremendous things in 10 years, as we've seen. It can go up and it can crash within 10 years. But the thing about it is that most people are not selling every 2 to 3 or 4 or 5 years. They're not doing that anymore. It used to be 5 years and it was 7. Now it's up to 10 years is the average time to sell. And the reason I say that is because part of the tax provision that you currently have is that you can sell your property and take advantage if you're a married couple up to $500,000 in tax forgiveness for capital gains, which is a big deal. All right. Well, but you have to live there 2 out of the last 5 years when you of home ownership. Now, what they're doing with the revised tax laws is now you're going to be looking at 5 out of the last 8 years. So that's significant. Instead of 2 out of 5, it's now 5 out of 8. So, you know, folks, now this doesn't really affect, you know, the flippers out there, because flippers are what we call dealers, okay? They're doing this on a constant basis. Dealers, not in the sense that they're drug dealers, please, but they're called dealers as far as the tax is concerned, the tax system, and it's basically, you know, regular income. But when you're looking at a homeowner who, you know, like a lot of people had investment properties and they moved down on those investment properties, that changed because that's what people were doing. They were serial homeowners and moving into a home, being there 2 out of the 5 years, selling it, taking their capital gains and running and not paying the government any capital gains taxes, which is fine with me. But that was one of the loopholes of owning real estate, which are very lucrative and added value to home ownership. So that's the key. We're going to come back and talk more about value as a homeowner now that it's post alleged tax reform, and we'll see how that plays out. But we'll come back and chat about that when we return with the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly, 636-1350, 636-1350. Call the numbers right back after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry.
I'm Klay Thompson.
I'm Draymond Green.
I'm Kevin Durant.
I'm Andre Iguodala.
Hi, this is JaVale McGee.
I'm Zaza Pachulia, and you're listening to KSRO.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Sean Livingston, and this is the home of the Golden State Warriors play-by-play. FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you 3 easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
Well, we hope you can get into a home before Christmas. If you're in a home now, congratulations. And if you're out there, one of the fire victims, there are homes that are out for sale. You know, we get you pre-approved and qualified with any of the great lenders we have here on the show. We had Otto Kobler subbing for me about a month ago. And then we're finally going to get Wells Fargo on here because we have a really good person there named Eric Oquist, who we have referred on the show before. But sometimes corporate doesn't want their guys to come on the air because they may say something that gets them in trouble, which we had with Joe Rupe, who's our State Farm representative, not the, as I said, the other company. See, I got it right, Joe. State Farm. It
took you 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. It took me here. That was funny when I said that. But because they had called me up and they said, okay, well, no, you know, no call-ins, all this kind of stuff. And I understand that. Sometimes we get call-ins who say one thing and then they start talking about something else, which is always a little fun. But just an alert for you, we're going to have next week some shenanigans with a Christmas story. So you need to bone up on your Christmas story, okay, information. You know, I love that movie. I have a major award. Actually, it's a minor award now in my window, my little lamp I get, which looks like the major award that Dad got in the movie. And it is not French. It's not for Jilly, which anybody who knows the movie knows he was supposedly going to pronounce fragile. But his wife said, dear, I think that means fragile. And he was, oh, no, it's French. It's fragile. Anyway, so we're going to have that. We're going to have questions regarding, you know, what got the Ralphie's soap in his mouth? What did he say? What did he do? And what was he doing when he said it? So that's just one clue that we're going to have on next week's show. And then we'll give away some interesting T-shirts that I procured, which has the word fudge on it. So we all know code for that word, which is part of the movie. Anyway, and so we'll ask those things. We'll ask who was the neighbor next door? What kind of dog did he have? Dogs did he have? He had a whole bunch of dogs. And what did they eat on Christmas Day that made his dad, you know, just so sad? And what did they eat at the restaurant? You know that? Why don't you? Because you're one of that other movie guy, right? Your Wonderful Life. Your Wonderful Life. We could do trivia on A Wonderful Life too. You know, who was the gal? Who was the gal that walked by the taxi stand when Bert and Ernie were there and Jimmy Stewart? What was her name?
I can see her.
Well, I know her name. You know,
I don't remember.
Starts with the B. Starts with the B.
That's not going to help me.
Okay, whatever.
You know, they only show that.
Okay, that'll be a bonus. Here. That'll be a bonus question. Okay,
I can see her in my mind.
Yeah, well, she walked by the taxi stand. She is a. Yeah, that was the interesting thing about that movie. Capra had a really. That was a very mature movie. People don't realize that for its time.
It had some stuff.
There's a thing where she walks by it, and the cab driver says, "I got to go home and see the missus." You know, so you're kind of going, "Oh, really?" And for that time, it was like it was probably like, "Oh my God, he's going to go see the missus." You know, but it was kind of cute. Anyway, so next week we will chat about that. Yeah, kind of cute. Anyway, so that's Joe's favorite movie, but I'm a Christmas Story guy. So, and it's going to be on probably TBS for 24 hours or something.
Right at Christmas Eve, right?
Yeah, Christmas Eve.
TBS and TNT.
Is that right?
On both of them.
Yeah, you can watch it. You can catch all the great, you know, all the great scenes and all that stuff. And we all know what Flick did, right? When you should not put your what on a ice pole.
I know that, but you're not going to don't want to announce that.
Oh, why not? Well, that's a freebie.
Okay, it's tongue.
His tongue, yeah. He got what happened to his tongue? It got stuck on the pole.
Probably hurt.
It hurt, and the cops had to come, the firemen, and all that stuff. Remember that? Anyway, so poor Flick. Anyway, so that'll be next week. So we got some interesting gifts we'll be giving away. So all that kind of fun stuff, and we may even have a grand prize drawing for all of our contestants. So this is your chance to get in next week. And we'll offer maybe an afternoon with Joe Pasquini talking about sports or something like that, you know.
That's a grand prize.
Oh, maybe that's the prize if the person didn't win or something.
Yeah, the booby prize.
The booby prize. Okay, getting on with the real estate market. So we had tax reform. What does that mean? Well, you know, the National Association of Realtors thinks it's like, oh, my God, it's the worst coming of it could be pestilence and all sorts of stuff happening with the Tax Reform Act. They said prices will actually go down. And, you know, I have a real hard time with that. Number one, I don't know how they quantify that. Now, they're basically saying because of the issues with the tax deductions for interest, home ownership, your interest on your mortgage payment, and your property taxes is enough to drive values down. I can't remember too many clients who have come to me and said, you know, I'm buying a house, Mike, because of the after-tax savings of owning a home. Never had anybody do that, okay? It's a nice benefit. It relieves the pain sometimes of a high mortgage payment, especially in our state where we have such high taxes. When you buy a home, you know, it's 1 or 110% of the sales price. If you buy a home for $500,000, okay, you're going to be paying $5,000 a year in taxes, property taxes, and you could write those off to the current code, and then you could also, you know, write off your mortgage interest deduction. So this has all been changed, and they have different ways or different numbers they're going to use. So we're still going to have to wait to see just what, you know, they're coming out with as far as that is concerned. I understand the property deduction, they've left that property taxes up to $10,000. Now, in California, you know, if that's $1 million home, that's $10,000 a year taxes. But there are other states where the taxes are outrageous. I mean, California taxes are kind of tough as it is, but not for me. because I bought my house many, many, many years ago. So my taxes are very low, my property taxes. And it's called the Stay Put Initiative. When Proposition 13 was passed, it basically stated, if you stay in your home, you're rewarded. If you buy another house, you're going to pay. All right. So if you say your tax bill is $3,000 now, well, if you go buy a home, you sell your home and you buy a home, say for $5 or even $750 million, then your taxes go to $5,000, $7,500, or $10,000 a year. And the Tax Reform Act wanted, number one, to reduce that dramatically. Well, now I think they gave it $10,000. In the scope of the universe, guys, California, we have whacked out prices. We all know that. All right. The East Coast has whacked out prices. All right. Everything in between ain't whacked out. Okay. I just left Nevada last week, and my friend is buying a home for $230,000, which is 2,200 square feet with a granny unit. And, you know, and it's like $220,000 or something like that. It's very, very reasonable to buy a home in Nevada. Plus, they don't have any state tax. Well, we have state tax plus, you know, the mortgage deduction, you know, which is I think they've left that alone. I'm going to have to research that, see what that came out with. They may have put a cap on that. I think they did, or they reduced it dramatically. So what that means to people on the West Coast is that when you look at the end of the tax year, and one of the reasons, you know, it's not maybe not the reason you buy a home. You probably buy a home because you're tired of being a tenant. You're tired of having to ask permission to do anything you want to your house. You want the security of owning a home, and you want the appreciation inherent in this marketplace, perhaps, as kind of a bonus. I don't think I would ever include it as part of, you know, a probable, you know, investment opportunity, unless you're buying an investment property with appreciation. I think you should buy investment properties for different reasons other than appreciation, but that's another topic altogether. So, but it kind of helps, though, if you have these deductions that you can, you know, add to, you know, to take off on your taxes. And most people that are buying a home today have to have an income of $110,000, $120,000 for the median home price. So you're going to have a tax bill, and a lot of this softens that blow, the mortgage deduction for the interest and your property taxes. Well, what the plan that they have now, okay, is going to change all that. And NAR actually feels that it's going to reduce home prices. They say in California it would reduce home prices by $56,000. And, you know, I just don't agree with that. I think a lot of people buy homes for totally different reasons. You know, when I bought my home, it had nothing to do with taxes. You know, I wanted a place that I could, you know, call my own, that I could do what I wanted to it, that, you know, so to just within reason, and not have to worry about a landlord. And I think that's what a lot of people buy homes for. They want to buy so they can raise their kids. It's a great neighborhood. It's great schools. And yeah, okay, and I get help with my taxes, which is cool, which is nice. Thank you very much for that. I don't know if that's the number one driving reason. So when NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and CER sit down, they say, well, that's going to reduce the value of the homes. In this marketplace, fat chance. I mean, I don't think it's going to affect us at all. But what we're going to do next week is hopefully once this thing is settled and we can start seeing what came out of it after the Tax Reform Act, we'll talk in more depth and maybe even get an accountant on here. We have a great gal named Madeline Cromwell who will try to get on here and chat about those items, all right? So give me a call if you have any real estate needs, 636, no, that's the wrong number, 322-8503 during the week, 322-8503, and no dumb question at gmail.com. No dumb question at gmail.com, right, Joe? Because in real estate, there are no
dumb questions.
You got it. Okay, we'll see you next Sunday. Remember, a Christmas story contest coming next Sunday. We'll see you then. I'll be home for Christmas. If only.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on The Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com.